Great. So you might need John chapter 20 open in front of you for some of the questions I'm going to ask you. But Jesus had died on the Friday, and he had been buried, and he had been lain probably on something similar to this. If you can imagine that this is made of stone and it's more like a cave. But other than that, it's just like this. The stone has been rolled away from in front of the tomb where Jesus was buried, and the tomb is empty. There's nobody there. That's the scene. And as we've already witnessed, people have been running everywhere. When Mary discovered the stone rolled away, she ran. And then Peter and John, they run. Everybody's running everywhere. What is this all about? Well, the tomb is not completely empty. There are three clues in the tomb that are going to help us understand what this is all about. Three clues which we're going to have to investigate, which will help us understand what the resurrection of Jesus from the dead means. Now, as we investigate the three clues, the tool that we need to unlock the clues is what we call the Old Testament. That's like our magnifying glass, so that when we use the Old Testament and look closely at the clues, we're going to see them more clearly and understand what we're being told. So, who won the race? John. Good, not Zach. John. John won the race. What's the first thing that John saw? The first clue. He's the first one to see it. What did John see? Strips of linen. Who told me that? Zach, please come and join me. This is really confusing now because this is Peter. But anyway, it's John. But it's not, it's Zach at this point, actually. Yeah, so up you come. So the first thing, and it must have been quite close to the entrance because otherwise John wouldn't have seen it. He didn't go in, remember? And so he sees discarded linen. That's the first clue. Now then, what's our tool? Our tool is the Old Testament. So, anybody know what Leviticus 16:23 says? No. Okay, well, here it is. Then Aaron is to go into the tent of meeting and take off the linen garments he put on before he entered the most holy place, and he is to leave them there. Clue number one, under the magnifying glass. See, what this is talking about is a very special day in the life of God's people. It's called the Day of Atonement. That's the day when all the sins, what are sins? That's when we go, shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. The Day of Atonement is when the sins of all the people are paid for by sacrifice. They're punished and paid for on the Day of Atonement. So you're not Aaron. So don't be confused about who you are. But, okay, face the coin. Here's Aaron. What Aaron would do, he would be dressed in all sorts of linen for the Day of Atonement. So kind of that one, just I'm not going to tie it on because that's too fiddly. But you hold that there, Zach, yeah? And then kind of, I don't know where this one goes. We'll put it there like that. Okay, so there is Aaron on the Day of Atonement, and he goes into the most holy place. That's the place where God was seen most. It's where God dwelt on earth in the midst of his people. And Aaron goes into that place and he does everything that's needed to pay for the sins of all the people. And then what does he do with the linen? He has to take it off. And as he's leaving, he leaves it there. So you've got to take it all off now, Zach. And he just drops it on the floor and leaves it there. And off he goes. Thank you, Zach. Very well done. So as John paints this picture in the gospel story, there's the first clue. Discarded linen. It's a scene that points to sins being paid for. It points to our sins being paid for. That's when you look at the clue under the magnifying glass. That's what John is teaching us. Something's happened here that means sins have been paid for. Right. Peter is first to see clue number two. What does Peter see? So he just charges straight past John and in. What does Peter see? Clue number two. Face cloth. You can come up. The person who answers the question gets to come up. But if you want to nominate somebody else, then feel free. So it's the face cloth. And there are a couple of details about the face cloth. It's still in its place, and it's folded. It's the come this way. Okay. So, the translation's a little tricky on this verse, but it's still in its place and it's folded. That's the second clue that John gives us on his scene. Right. Who knows what Exodus 34, verses 34 and 35 says? Guys, you've got to read your Old Testament. This is the tool to understand Jesus. And when Moses came out, that's coming out from the presence of the Lord. Moses had that special role. And when Moses came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded by God, they saw that his face was radiant. Can you see? That his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face. Until he went in to speak with the Lord again. And by going into the Lord's presence, that radiant Moses' face became radiant. But when he came out, that was hidden from the people after he told them what God had said. He was shining with God's glory. Now, glory... Well, it's not very good English, but it helps me just to get a grip on what glory is. God is perfect and great. And he is perfectly great, and he is greatly perfect. And if you put all that together, you're getting something of a handle on what God's glory is. His perfect greatness and his great perfection. He is great and perfect. It's the whole weight of God. That's his glory. And because Moses had seen this glory, his face was radiant with it, was reflecting it. And so it was covered by a veil. But in John's picture of the resurrection, the veil is not needed. It's folded up and in its place. It's been taken away. Mick, thanks very much. Aren't you going to clap him as well? It was good. It's left in its place. So clue number one, the discarded linen, sins are paid for. Clue number two, the folded face cloth. God's greatness, his glory, his great perfection is now uncovered to be seen. If you know John's gospel, John told us this was coming in chapter 1. In chapter 1, John the Baptist calls Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Clue 1. But John also said in the introduction in chapter 1, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one's ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God, as in and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." God's glory uncovered. No need for a veil. You want to see God's glory? Look at Jesus. No veil. The veil is taken away. We can have our sins forgiven, and God can be truly known because Jesus is risen from the dead. Two clues as to what the resurrection means. Mary is the first to see clue number three. Okay, what's the first thing? What does Mary see? Yes. I can't hear you, young man. I can see your mouth moving. Pardon? Saw an empty tomb. What else? The stone's moved. There's an empty tomb. Angels. You're not being an angel. Yes? Two angels. You come and help me with angels. And the girl at the back, do you want to come and help me with that as well? Great. So, no, you don't want to come. Okay, you come, that's fine. Where were the angels? I'm very reluctant about having Ian as an angel, but I think I can't resist. Come on. Now, I'm sure there are no two more angelic figures in our building. Right, so where were the angels? One at either end. Okay, so you go that end. And if what's your name?
Chloe.
Chloe, you go that end. And I knew all the communion linen would come in useful one day. So you got sort of, I don't know what you do with this, but that helps. There you go, hold that there, that's good. I hope you've got your Old Testament head on and you're thinking, oh, I recognise that. Is that happening yet? There we go. There you go, excellent, that's good, that fits. Right, third clue. Angels, yeah, kind of like that. That's right. That's exactly what was happening. Would you like your arms free? Okay, I've completely wrapped you up, haven't I? Lift this arm up. That's right, and then lift that arm up. That's right, and then this will come around here. Oh dear. There you go. Excellent. Good. Anybody know what Exodus 37 verse 8 says? I thought you'd have been trying by now. Here we go. He made one cherub on one end and the second cherub on the other. At two ends he made them. Now that's the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. That was in the most holy place. Of all the places on earth, that was symbolically where God dwelt. In fact, it's talked about a seat It's where God sits to rule and reign. It's the most holy place. And his seat would be between the two angelic figures, between the cherubim, between two angels. And this is the picture that John is painting for us. The two angels at either end of the most holy place where God sits. Now this kind of helps us with the other two clues as well, because the Day of Atonement, when Aaron was making sacrifice for the sins of the people and shedding his linen, that was done in the most holy place. It's the only day of the year when the high priest goes into where the Ark of the Covenant is. See how the picture builds? And in a sort of prefiguring of that, it's exactly where Moses would meet with the presence of God and come out radiant with God's glory. But the face cloth remains this time. But there's a big difference, isn't there? What's the difference between the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament, where God sits and reigns from between the cherubim, and the scene that John is painting for us? What's the difference? What did you say, Mary? That's right, the door's wide open, but who is here? Nobody's there. God has come out of the Holy of Holies at the resurrection to his world. God himself has come out from there. There's nobody there. The Ark of the Covenant's empty. God has come out to meet us. The third clue. I think, angels, you're now spared. I'll buy you an extra chocolate. Thank you, Chloe. See, if we now want to find God, there's no point going where he no longer is. Mary's going to do that for us, we'll see in a moment. But there's no point going where he no longer is. God has left there to come out to meet us. So John paints that picture. Sin paid for. God's glory uncovered. God has come out to meet us. Here's what the resurrection means then. We can be made ready for God. That's what James was talking about when he was reassuring us after we confessed our sins. How much more will we be saved through Jesus' life? The resurrection means we can be ready for God, sins forgiven. It means we can know, truly know God. No veil. The glory of God is open. And God has come out to meet us so we can live life with Jesus, as we'll see, as our brother. Right. Just as we draw to a close, Mary does two things Mary does the same thing twice in the second half of our reading. Any ideas? Shall I give you a clue? You might find one in verse 14. So it was before she looked at him. What's it say she did? Just before she looked, turned. And what does she do in verse 16? turns. You kind of think, okay, so she turned, and then she turned, which means she's facing the same way as before, but that's not how it works. She's talking with the angels. She's looking at the old stuff. Then she turns, and she sees Jesus. She's not clear what's going on. But when she knows it's him, she turns towards him. That's all behind now. It's all done. Sins are paid for. The glory of God is uncovered, standing in front of her. And he has come out in order to meet her so that she can live as his brother. See what Jesus says to her? In verse 17, go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Something that Jesus says to every one of his disciples. We don't need any of this anymore. We don't need a high priest shedding linen anymore. We don't need the face cloth. That's just folded up and put on one side, not to be needed again. We don't need a place where God sits, the Ark of the Covenant. We don't need any of that anymore, because as Mary understands, all she needs for life and everything is the Lord Jesus. And Jesus says that to everybody who turns like that to Jesus, then God is our Father and his Father. So God is our Father and Jesus is our brother. God comes out to meet us so that we can live life every day with Jesus as our brother. Right, four baptism candidates. Just stand up quick. Don't move, but just stand up. Four baptism candidates. Here they are. They're going to make six promises soon. And those promises are all about turning. So why don't all the young people, why don't we all face that wall? Anybody who's under 11, I suppose, and the baptism candidates, we'll all face this wall. Stand up if you're under 11. Are you all claiming to be older than you are? James is claiming to be younger. Okay, we'll all face this wall, and we're going to do what Mary did. Whatever it is that we've been looking at and following, whatever it is that we've been trusting, we're going to say, I'm going to turn to Jesus, I'm going to turn towards him and follow him. Okay, now this is what the six promises that the baptism candidates make are going to say. They're going to say, we reject the devil and all rebellion against God. We renounce evil, starting to turn. We repent of our sins. We accept Jesus as Savior. He pays for our sins. We submit to him as Lord, and we come to him to follow him. It's a complete turn. It's what Mary did. Okay, who's still standing up? Anybody? Okay, so we're gonna say, right, Jesus is behind us. This is what it means to take advantage of what the resurrection means. We're gonna turn toward and turn around. Okay, you guys can sit down. Thank you. You'll do that for real, of course. So as we turn to Jesus, we know sins are forgiven. We know God because his glory is not veiled to us, his greatness and his perfection. And we set ourselves to live as children of God. The four candidates are clear about that. That's why they're being baptized. And having unlocked the clues this morning, the clues that are in the empty tomb, I wonder if you are thinking that you should make that turn like Mary as well. Some of you will have done it and you'll have been reassured this morning that you definitely want to keep going that way. Some of you may never have thought about the resurrection and have never thought about really turning to the Lord Jesus. Well, are you thinking that you should, in the light of the clues under the microscope of the Old Testament. Sins paid for. Glory uncovered. We can know God truly and live with Christ as our brother. That's what the resurrection means. Have you turned to Jesus? Will you turn to Jesus?